Pour bien vous protéger contre la COVID-19 et ses variants, vous devez recevoir la dose de rappel et continuer de respecter la distanciation, de porter le masque et de laver vos mains.
The following is a previously broadcast program.
Good evening and welcome to Pirate Lock Radio here on CKUT 90.3 FM. This is the show that covers all types of new media exploration in the digital realm, the exhibition space, in sound and music, amongst many other things. I'm your host, Malte Leander, leading you through the next hour, coming out of Jejage, also known as Montreal, located on unceded Indigenous lands. Today we are having quite the listening-oriented episode lined up, one that we'll explore together with today's guest, Chantal Laplante. With a background as a classically trained pianist, she's now exploring composition and performance through meetings of acoustic and electronic, often with the comprehension of sound in space as focus, explorations that has taken her around a great variety of places and spaces all around Europe and North America. Welcome to the show, Chantal.
Hi. Bonsoir.
Bonsoir. Well, good to have you with me today. But, you know, before getting into some of the more meaty topics of today's conversation, I thought maybe we could start off by you sharing a little bit more on your background and practice, as I was able to only, you know, briefly summarize this just now.
Yeah, I think my practice is ever evolving into different fields of research. After classical training, I went into jazz piano and then pop music. And then I went into composition with André Prévost. So it was real note written music. And then I did a master in instrumental music. And then after I finished my master, I decided that I wanted to explore more electroacoustic music. So then I asked for a grant, which I obtained, and I was able to study with Francis Daumont. And actually that was a bit of a funny situation because I was looking for a composer that I felt close to aesthetically. And, you know, I was looking in Europe and, you know, really listening to a lot of music. And then all of a sudden, you know, I realized that Francis was here in Montreal next door. So why go all the way across the ocean when I had like this famous, fantastic, not only composer, but he's a fantastic teacher. So I embarked into a really agreeable and instructive road with him for a year. And then I went to study with Jonathan Harvey, because then after electroacoustic music, I thought it'd be interesting to mix, you know, instrument with electroacoustics. So I went and studied with Jonathan Harvey because I really liked his work. For example, Bacti was really famous work at that time in the 90s. And then from then on, because I was in Europe, I stayed in Europe somehow and met someone that I started working improvising with my computer. And she was, it was a Charlotte Hook with an alt player. And so we played different festivals and things. And all the while I continued composed music. And then from then on, I had this journey in Germany where things sort of started moving into a different direction again and brings me here today.
Yeah,
with sound, body, and space.
Right. Yeah, those are definitely some keywords that I can extract from looking at your past explorations compositionally and in research too. It sounds like quite the journey, a lot of twists and turns that has brought you to where you are today artistically.
And I just finished a PhD, by the way.
Exactly. Great. Yeah. Well, congratulations to that, finishing
Thank
that as well.
You.
That's a big achievement.
Yes.
Well, you mentioned, and from what I can tell too, that the computer plays a vital part in your performances, where, you know, you have a lot of different tools that you just mentioned, and where Maximus P is one of them. Can you talk a little bit about how the computer has come to play a part of your setup in this exploration between the electroacoustic and the acoustic domains?
Actually, it's one of those twists, as you just mentioned, because it's actually the director of the Contemporary Center for the Arts in Glasgow, whom became a friend, who said, you should improvise. Your music just... I listen to your music and it leads to that kind of feel. And I was kind of not sure at all at first, but he insisted. And so before I went to Europe to study with Jonathan Harvey, I contacted someone who did some programming with Maximus P. We're talking about the beginning of 2000. So that was the new thing then, pretty much, although it had been on for a while, but anyway. And so I went to Europe with this Maximus P patch that I had done with my own, you know, needs, really designed for my needs. And that's how it all started. And I got really hooked on working with the sounds and doing some montage of very atmospheric music. I think that's what characterized the way I was working with the sounds. That's now that I realized that then that's what I was doing. It was very, some people were saying, you know, it's very transcendental kind of thing. Transcendent, I don't know. But mm-hmm. I think atmospheric could be the best way of describing the kind of music I was proposing.
Right.
And still am.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, talking about these all of these sounds and approaches, we are soon to listen to the first piece of music that you brought along today, Estudio de un Piano, or Study of a Piano, which is a work focusing on the sensation of physical interaction with a prepared piano. But for the listeners out there, perhaps that don't know too much about this or lacking some of that terminology, could you walk us through a little bit about what this project is about?
I think that the title is quite, you know, evocative, because usually you have a study for piano. You know, that's typical of when you're learning piano, you have to play different studies by different composers. It's part of the technical process. But for me, it was the study of a piano. It's like I really literally went inside of the piano. And I think this piece is a good example of the whole process, from this very specific listening experience I had in Germany at the beginning of a residency in 2003, I think, that made my listening process really transform, where the body, the listening body, became at the center of the whole process. And it had a big impact on the way that I was composing. But it took many years for that kind of questioning to take form. And I think that in Estudio de un Piano, the whole process was to recognize the physicality of the musical process, especially for me being a pianist, you know, going back with the piano. I think it was my first piece for piano after all these years composing. You know, I always shied away from the piano because it was so loaded. So the process went through a first exploratory process in Banff with Luciani Cardassi, who championed the piece and still is championing it through a beautiful recording she just did on Redshift Records. Then I came back to Montreal and I pursued the research inside the piano. And at some point I felt like I was going to be eaten by the piano. It was really intense, very intense. And actually it gives a very quiet piece. I was quite under the influence, I must say, of Luigi Nono Ferte, on this, Soffiati Onde Serene of Luigi Nono, which is a piano piece played by the famous Polizzi. It's a very subtle half-light kind of piece. And actually, all the music we'll be listening today, somehow in the background, I've been thinking of how it would sound while listening to this program, driving your car. And will it work? And I hope it works. So the sounds are quiet, but it doesn't vary a lot. So if you fix it at a certain level that you can hear it, it should work. And I hope it you can hear the whole thing while driving around wherever you are.
Great. Well, thanks for that comprehensive introduction and setting the scene. So hopefully we have some drivers on the road tuning into this at the same time. That would be a great combination. Well, let's get into the listening then. So here is Estudo de un Piano. Thank you. Welcome back. This is Pirate Block Radio at CKUT 90.3 FM. Today we are chatting with composer and performer Chantal Laplante. What you just heard was her composition Estudo de un Piano. Where we left off just before this short musical break, I was about to mention the work that you've been developing most recently, perhaps through your PhD, Chantal, a sort of embodiment of the musical performance and the space within it is taking place. Can you elaborate a little bit, perhaps, on what this research entails?
Actually, I think it links really well to what I've just talked about with Estudio de un Piano, with the physicality of the music making, but also the physicality of music listening, going through the body, going through the space, music that sounds that could be invading, soothing, whatever. So it's to recognize the importance of the listening body. So what happened with my works, is that at some point I felt like this physicality and this the importance I was giving to the place in which I was working while, you know, composing was not being taken into consideration during the traditional concert setting. I felt like there was really like a rupture in between my way of working and the way of presenting the work. So that's when I decided, okay, I'm going to invest a new way of presenting my work. And I had no clue how to go about it. So I just thought. And then all of a sudden, through various conversations, the concert installation sort of became the starting point of the project. And then I decided to embark on a PhD to dig further into first the concept, but also to experiment. And actually the four big projects that I did during the PhD, I could never have done it otherwise. I had access to a lot of equipment and, you know, I was able to go to Tokyo to work at the Musashino University of Arts. It was fantastic. I went to Banff. I did big project in UCAM, you know, like Le Cœur des Sciences. I used the three big space, the Agora, the Chimney, and the Chaufferie. We call it the Chaufferie. And it was fantastic. So this has been very positive that way. So the peu à peu, I'm trying to...
Bit by bit.
bit by bit, bit by bit, day by day, month by born, and I could even say year by year, because it took a few years. Mm-hmm. Things started to take form. I started with one piece for piano and electronics with sounds coming from the outside. And the whole process of trying to find new ways of having the people, the first piece, people are around the piano, open onto the outside. There was beautiful windows opening onto the forest. So I was trying to work, you know, I was going out of the black box, because we're always working in black box for a concert hall. Right. In a concert hall. So I was trying to have the outside coming into the inside. And, you know, in Banff, it was like the place I was in, a studio in the colony, the artist colony. And it was like a summer camp, full of stuff, you know, all kind of lamps and furniture. I took everything out and I made it like a real white box. There was just the piano and the equipment, and that was it. And so it became quite beautiful for me, and let a lot of space for the listening. And then I went to Tokyo and the whole thing sort of went upside down, because I had my project and the project was not working at all because the space called for something else. So at the last minute, I had to change the whole project, and I worked into this huge sculpture, wood sculpture workshop that was full of stuff. At the beginning, there was nothing in it hardly, but at the end of the semester, there was a lot of stuff. So the space has changed physically, but also orally, because mm-hmm. there were a lot more noises, a lot more students working, you know, rushing to finish the work because it was the end of the session. So anyway, I did a piece specifically for that site. And working with rock musicians and also with the sculptors. And actually, all my piece, people can have access to it through Vimeo. You just type my name, if you know how to spell it, and you should be able to get to the four big productions that I did. It's about 5 minutes each, so it gives you an idea. And then fast forward to Montreal, Intramuros, and then fast forward to Chambre d'Écoute, which is the one that will be listening. Would you like to ask me a question here, or should I keep on going?
I had something to put in there. I mean, we'll listen to Chambre d'Écoute in just a few minutes, but in this combination of aspects of sort of the performer and the space and the music itself, I think that, you know, listening is something that is really important in that context. And you're mentioning hyper listening, of this sort of big awareness of sort of going into this interrelationship between what I just mentioned. Can you talk a little bit about that versus focused listening, or what hyper listening really means?
Well, hyper listening was something that came up in 2006 when I wrote an article on trying to put words onto the listening experience I had in 2002 or 3 in Bamberg, Germany. It was, as you mentioned, a way of mentioning a very sensitive way of listening. It could be a focused listening. It could be called another way, because I think my work somehow, the concept behind the listening posture is quite close to Pauline Oliveros. That's for sure. Except that Pauline brought it into a practice of listening with imagery, with meditating, with all kind of different ways of attaining, you know, of getting closer to this special way of listening and being aware of the environment. I'm not To me, the way I'm moving into the listening process is to propose an environment, a very sensitive, sensible with lighting, but not moving lighting. Like there's no spectacle, there's no, you know, flash and things. It's a very intimate space in which people can do their own process of listening. So I'm setting up, in my view, the conditions for the people to put the body into an active listening,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
through specialization, lighting, the way they are welcomed into the space, because to me it starts right from the minute they go through the door.
Sure.
There's already something happening there. And so that they dive into a space that has been really networked,
yeah,
with sound and the way the chairs are placed. You know, actually, usually it's placed like disorderly. People can be their back to the musician and another one. So there's no sweet point of listening. There's the point you are and you have your own experience, and it's as good as the one 2 feet away or 2 meters away.
Yeah, no, that all plays a significant role in the experience.
Exactly.
of blending those sort of stereotypical ways of doing things too, that definitely plays into the individual experience of the audience as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, it is a bit of a compromise playing some of the musical explorations that you've done where
you're
it
totally
is
right.
Where it
totally
is right. exploring the space and sort of embodying the listening experience, but you listeners just have to make do with some of these excerpts that we're able to present to you here over the radio. So we'll have a listen now to an excerpt from one of Chantal's pieces called Chambre d'écoute, which is originally a 45-minute performance that took place at the Conservatoire in Montreal and written for live electronics, percussion, and manipulated objects.
Thank you.
You are currently tuned into Pirate Block Radio here at CKUT 90.3 FM. Today's discussion is with the guest Chantal Laplante, which is a composer and performer here in Montreal. We just had a listen to an excerpt of her piece and performance titled Chambre d'écoute. At a previous discussion that we had, Chantal, you were talking about the radio as a medium particularly being interesting to you and that you've sort of played with before as well. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, but before I wanted to mention that the piece that we just listened to, at the end, it sort of became a study of resonances. So that's why we heard a lot of, and those are all natural resonances from the cymbals and the timbales and things like that. And today, the work we will be listening on radio are artificial resonances. But resonances is something that I'm very interested in more and more, actually, as you know, another infinite way of looking into sounds. So radio, how did radio came to me? Another twist. I think it's through Martine H. Crispo. She was doing Show pour le Mans Stone, and I was really stricken, like had a big flash when she was doing a show. We could at some point hear her moving around. She was really relaxed. And then, I mean, she looked relaxed. Maybe she wasn't, I don't know. And then, you know, we could hear the mouse clicking, and then she would, you know, we could really have a sense of the space in which she was. And I was fascinated by this. I was sort of drawn into that space. And so somehow, at some point, she needed someone to replace her. And I started working on the Show pour le Mans Stone. And then from then on, I started having like more and more interest in working with the radio as a medium, as another way of exploring sounds. At the beginning, you know, some of my Show pour le Mans Stone was often quite, you know, like what we're doing today, you know, a mixture of talk with people and music. But then, you know, I met with Jane Cornell, Andrea Jane Cornell, who was the producer of Montreal Session. She invited me there, and then she invited me also to If You've Got Ears. And then I started working with my sister, who is a writer, Marilyn Laplante, and we decided to join forces and do, because, you know, I always work really closely with my sister. It was not something out of the blue. I mean, we've always been talking. She has studied in visual arts and literature, of course, and philosophy and so on. And so we decided to join force and investigate the studio as a way of exploring sort of a back and forth, you know, what's coming into the studio and what's coming out of the studio. And so I think the piece that we will be listening to tonight is interesting that way, because we had put microphones outside of the back window of the studio at CKUT that picked up sounds from the city rumors. We hear honking and at some point a sirens. And then we were exploring also, as Alvin Lucier did so many times, those resonant body, like big balls that you speak into and it resonates naturally. So we really enjoyed working with it. And also she worked with the megaphones, and we just basically opened the mics and improvised. And I work with my computer, with my bank of sounds, and also my bell plates. The bell plates is another thing that I stole from Luigi Nono, because there's a piece, I can't remember which one, in which he's using like big steel plates of different size. And he had put microphones on it, and you can modulate modulateur en anneau, a ring modulator.
Exactly. Yeah.
The ring modulator. So I had a setup. I still have it, although I don't use it much these days. And I use my bell plates, and Marilyn is walking inside the space with the megaphones. And then at some point she talks, I think, through a glass jar. And it's just very another atmospheric piece. So if you're still driving in your car, this was a very slow motion musical proposal, also based on resonance somehow. This time we have text, of course, which means another layer of meaning.
Right.
But, you know, I wanted to get out of the sanitized studio. So I think it was interesting to bring all the sounds from outside inside the studio.
That's the kind of thing that I'm interested in. I was just about to say it is an interesting way of redefining the studio environment in a radio context or session as well, where you're sort of canceling out all possible noises or outside sources, but instead sort of embracing that and making that part of the performance. I find very interesting.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing that I'm interested in. It's like an improvisation, but a controlled improvisation. You know, we don't want to just do whatever, you know, but we're always thinking, you know, as artists, we're always thinking about ways of doing things in a coherent manner. Although it might sound like pure chaos when you're listening to it, there's some sort of, you know, but, and there's a deep complicity between me and my sister, of course. So that helps. I have deep complicity with Charlotte when I was improvising, like, you know, usually when you work with musician, that's what you look for.
Yeah, it requires that flexible limitation or constraint that still sort of feeds into the creativity and the improvisation of a performance as well. Well,
exactly.
I think you gave a really good rundown here of what we are about to embark on this next improvisation that we're listening to. And as you mentioned, this was part of a CKUT show back in 2011 on the show If You Got Ears by Andrea Jane Cornell. So let's get into that.
Pas encore utilisé. L'homme est un technicien. C'est le technicien qui l'a vu. Le dinosaure était quoi? Un gourmand. Il fut un temps où la terre était dominé par le gourmand, puis vint le technicien. Thank you. sommes toujours déçus.
And with that, I'll leave you for today, concluding this fall season of Pirate Block Radio here at CKUT 90.3 FM. In today's listening-directed episode, we have heard thoughts and reflections and compositions from Chantal Laplante. It was a pleasure to have you here to speak to me today.
Oh, merci pour l'invitation. C'était un plaisir. Thanks so much.
Merci beaucoup. Next month will be a patchwork of past interviews from the archive throughout the years, but I will be back in the new year with more discussions on new media art, technology, and artistic practices in a variety of mediums. Once again, I'm your host, Malte Leander. Hope you enjoyed.
CKUT, les vibrations de la communauté. CKUT FM 90.3.
Here at CONSEC is a traitor.